fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Pete Burak, who's been our guest this week. And I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, so don't forget, I want to have you go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, and you can listen to them on your computer or download them and listen to them at your leisure on whatever device you have that works for you. But welcome back, Pete.
Good. Thanks.
You know, yesterday we ended the program, we spent a lot of time actually on the program yesterday talking about what it means to be a disciple, pieces of that. We talked about the importance of commitment, and that commitment is a challenging thing for everybody, but it's really one of the keys, it's an essential piece to be able to come into the grace and the gift and the joy of being a disciple, because it's a long road of, in a steady way, following in the footsteps of Jesus and keeping your eye on him. And then we talked about the conversion pieces being really crucial. So we talked about personal relationship with Christ as well, as the recent popes have used the language. So all these things were part of our conversation yesterday, which was very interesting. Today I want to ask you, where do you see that happening in the work that you're doing with young adults in ID 916?
Yeah, good question. Because I did throw out that big challenge that we need to facilitate opportunities for encounter and for that experience of meeting the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit, not in isolation, but I think it's really important to see those moments of encounter as part of a broader strategy, a broader discipleship plan for people. And so within ID 916, we have a couple different things that have worked. It does work, believe it or not. The discipleship and evangelization does work, even with young adults. And I think the best example would be in our Alpha courses. So we've been utilizing Alpha, which is a way we describe it as it's the exploration of the meaning of life through a Christian lens. Okay, so it takes people through the initial steps of what does it mean to be Christian? What did Jesus say? Who is Jesus? Why did he die? Why do we read scripture? How can I have faith? All the very basic things. And it kind of culminates halfway through the course with a retreat weekend called the Holy Spirit Weekend, where it leads to a time of commitment to the Lord, an opportunity to say, like, yes, I believe, and invite the Lord into your life, and then be prayed with and to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we found, we've done 7 of them now in houses, mostly in my house. We've done 6 in my house, and it's worked really well. My daughters, the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old, act as greeters when the people come in through the house, and it's kind of chaotic. It's a little bit raw, but the whole flow of it is it starts with dinner. Then you have a talk, a recorded talk, and then discussion. And that's pretty much it. And what's brilliant about it is it's come as you are. Whatever questions you have, there's no bad question. There's no kind of off the wall. Whatever people say, we react to. But the beautiful thing is the leaders, we don't really guide the discussion. We don't answer questions. We just simply say, oh, that's interesting. What do you think about this? And just keep the conversation going, because we want it to feel like an opportunity to truly engage in what the Christian message is, and for people to approach it on their own terms and in their own way. And so the way we describe it is the talks, the recordings, the videos that we watch are when we say what we believe, and then the discussion is where they say what they believe. And what we found is through weeks of doing this, it's 11 weeks. So week after week, what happens is you develop genuine friendships with the people. At dinner, you don't really talk about God. You don't talk about anything. You just become friends. You just talk about what friends would talk about. And so you do that. And by the time the weekend comes around, the people who have lasted that long and who are really interested and ready to keep moving forward, what we found is that by the time it comes to say, all right, now's the time to invite the Lord into your life. Now's the time to have kind of a conversion moment, if you will. People trust us, because they've developed a relationship with us. And it doesn't mean that everybody has this radical conversion, but everybody who's gone through the process with us, I would say, has gone a little bit closer to the Lord. Wherever they started, they've come closer. But there have been some pretty radical stuff too. I mean, just this last course, we had a guy who came, whose sister brought him, and he was in an exploration mode. He was ready to kind of check this stuff out. He had been raised Catholic in a very dynamic community, but at some point had pretty much totally rejected the faith. And the kind of a culminating moment was he had a wake-up moment when he woke up in his apartment and everything had been stolen from him, because he had a rough night the night before and woke up and literally everything was gone, and he had to move back in with his parents, and he was like, something needs to change. So he decided to come on Alpha. And from the first day, he didn't say much, but I could tell he was engaged. The next day, he brought a friend, which is always a good sign. So the next week, he showed up with another friend who would self-said He had never read the Bible before. Been raised Christian, had never read the Bible before. So here you got these two guys who have some church background, but I would say are very typical kind of non-millennial, like we talked about this week, where they've rejected the faith. So they come, and they're asking questions. By about week five, everybody's a little frustrated because we're not really getting to any resolution. They keep asking these really deep questions. They can't find out the answer to it because we won't provide the answers. And there's just like this restlessness. But coming on the weekend, we can finally culminate to the time where it's time to pray. And Joey, the guy who leads it with me, really the primary leader, starts to play the guitar and just invites everybody to say, all right, we're going to take a time to worship and just open ourselves up to the Lord. And I'm standing in the back totally freaked out because we have literally done nothing to set up. I mean, we're in the basement in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. The aesthetics are not there. There's nothing that would suggest other than just faith that Jesus wants to move and that the Holy Spirit is alive to suggest that this is going to do anything. And so we begin to pray. And I tell you what, Peter, it was like just a bomb went off in the room. Mm. It was unbelievable. I mean, the big guy who had, you know, rejected the faith is just weeping. And not in like this overly emotional way, but in something is happening. His buddy literally stood in the same position, did not move for like an hour and 15 minutes. He had his hands open in front of him and he just was there, tears gently rolling down his face. Another gal who was really struggling with her faith ended up kind of curled up in a ball in the corner, really just having some pretty profound moment with the Lord. And afterwards we said, okay, what happened? You know, what's going on? And to a person, they all just said, the overriding sentiment, which was really interesting, was more like, oh my gosh, this is real. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have necessarily said that they had this radical conversion, but it's a process, right?
Yeah.
But they all came away feeling like, wow. I mean, and there was even a little bit of fear in their voice of, oh my gosh, this is real. Jesus is real. What does that mean for my life?
Yeah. You know?
And now, this is the beautiful part. We've invited all three of them to now help on our next alpha. So we're going to be launching another alpha, and all three of them are the helpers for the next one because they don't have it all together, right?
Yeah.
But they're still journeying. Every day they're a little bit more converted. We've done some follow-up things with them, and every time we get together, we pray more, and it's a little bit more openness. But they still have all these friends who are far from the church. And so their job is to bring them to the next alpha and to continue to be their friend and to journey with them, and we'll just see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But it was just really cool to see people who came in the door week one who would have self-identified as far from God, far from the church. And by the time they left, they knew that Jesus was real and that he loved them. And mm-hmm. now they were trying to figure out what life looked like from there.
Yeah, that's really good. The way the whole thing's set up is that it's kind of a zero entry pool kind of idea. I've heard it expressed that it doesn't expect that the person coming knows anything about Christ. And it's a very simple initial kind of presentation of the kerygma, sort of the simple basic gospel message about the person of Jesus, which is the doorway, is a key doorway. And it's done relationally where eventually over weeks there's a kind of trust that gets built up. They feel like they're not under pressure. They can relax. And when they trust you enough to be able to pray with you, to be able to open their hearts and to ask the Lord to begin to reveal himself to them and to begin to lead them home.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We had another girl who for 24 years had gone to Mass every week. She was a self-identified Catholic. She would even consider herself a good Catholic, right? Yeah. And she was. I mean, she was a virtuous girl. She lived her life. But if you had asked her, you know, Aaron, do you have much power in your faith life? She probably wouldn't have known what to say. And again, the Holy Spirit weekend thing happened and she walked away saying, like, I had never been introduced to the idea that I could have a relationship with Jesus, which seems crazy, right? I mean, going to Mass, you're literally receiving him every Sunday.
Yeah.
But the language and the opportunity to say, like, no, he actually wants a personal relationship with me that's one with power, filled with the Holy Spirit, was foreign to her. And so she did. And now she's just, I mean, she is a dynamic young lady. Talk about a commitment. There's no lack of commitment in her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was already pretty committed, if you can tell, going to Mass every Sunday. But now, a whole nother level of missionary dynamism and just willing to share. For the next three Alpha courses, she was our number one cheerleader. I mean, she brought more people than anybody because she was just filled with the Spirit. And this is really good. The Lord is alive.
Yeah. Occasionally, I hear people say that they kind of poo-poo the whole idea of personal relationship with God, which I just find really puzzling because it really is about a person. It is really about coming to know a person. Now, it could be misunderstood that it's kind of perpetual feeling and that all I do is ride on feelings and I don't pay attention to doctrine or all that. That's not what it means at all, essentially. But many people think, I don't know I wouldn't say I know the Lord. I know about him. I just don't know him. And I was thinking of how many times the recent popes have underlined the importance of that. Actually, all going back to the Second Vatican Council from the document Agente, said, talking about conversion. It says, this conversion must be taken as an initial one, the kind of we're describing right now, right? Yet sufficient to make a man realize that he has been snatched away from sin and led into the mystery of God's love, who called him to enter into a personal relationship with him in Christ.
Wow.
God is calling us into a personal relationship with him through the person of Jesus Christ. That's why introducing first to the person of Jesus is really crucial.
Right.
As a tool, I mean, Alpha is just a tool to help facilitate that. And it's totally inadequate if you're trying to use it as a catechetical tool to introduce people to all the central doctrines of the faith.
Absolutely.
But that's not what it's for. That's not the point. That's not the point of using it. I was thinking about Father James Mallon from St. Benedict's Parish in Halifax, Nova Scotia, the author of Divine Renovation. I've known the parish quite a bit for a good number of years, and it's amazing. They've used the same tool, and the parish is just alive and growing and dynamic, and people are being discipled and engaging in mission and the rest of it. Well, 2 weeks ago, after his homily, he had one of the graduates from the recent Alpha course come up. Here's a guy who'd been away from the church for 30 years. He's a biker, you know, motorcycle guy, big handlebar mustache up there, and he literally had not been in a church in 30 years. Married to a woman who was irreligious, didn't have any religious background whatsoever. So he, through friends from the parish, eventually convinced him to come on an Alpha. And he said, okay, I'll come. And he's there, and he said, at first it was just the kindness and the hospitality of people sort of kept me coming back. He said, and then they had this thing with the weekend where they talked about who the person of the Holy Spirit and could offer prayer. And so if people wanted it, so I said, okay, I've had three back surgeries for fusions in my lower back, and I've had huge problems the last 4 years. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just ask him to pray with that. So two guys, much like himself, who were there, a couple blue-collar guys, wonderful men, are there, and they pray with him. They laid hands on him. And he said immediately felt this heat like go through his body and his entire leg and the lower back where he had this problem. He said he began to weep and weep, and he couldn't stop weeping, experiencing the love of God just touching his life. And he said, I wept for, I don't know, like a couple hours. I couldn't stop. I was so joyful.
Yeah.
And then Father's interviewing me, and he says, are you the crying kind or what? And he said, literally, I haven't shed a tear for 30 years. Not
wow.
one tear.
Wow.
He said, so then the next morning I was going back home and I got in my pickup truck and he said, I'm driving along and I'm listening to the station I normally listen to. And I don't want to listen to that anymore. So I just happened to turn and there was a gospel station. So I started listening to a station I never listened to. And lo and behold, there's some songs in there that I knew from my past or something. So I'm singing along and I start weeping and crying again. And all the way home, I'm crying with joy. I pull in the parking lot across the street from my house, he said, because I didn't want my wife to see me. She'd think I'd have a nervous breakdown, you know. He said, I got my act together, went in and told her, and everything that happened, she just looked at me and said, really? And that was the only answer that he got. But he ends up telling Father. So Father asked him, so how does this change you? He goes, well, Father, I tell you what, I went out and got a rosary for myself. I got a rosary for my granddaughter. I'm praying the rosary every day. I bought a Bible and a catechism. I'm reading those every day. And for a guy who's never read a full book in my life, I'm like 60 pages short of reading having read the entire Catholic catechism.
Whoa. Yikes.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
He's just devouring it, this guy. And wow. He said, I can't get enough of it. Why? Because his heart has fallen in love with the person of Jesus Christ. And when you love Christ and you know his love, you want to love what he loves. And what he loves is his bride, the church, who he died for. And we'll do the same if our hearts are given to him. Can you join us again tomorrow?
Absolutely.
All right. God bless. Have a great day, friends.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.